To share some thoughts with you this morning from the 42nd Psalm. If you would, open your Bible to that passage. That was our scripture reading a few moments ago. I want to dig into it a little bit deeper. We'll look at some other passages in our study this morning, but that we're going to be camping here in Psalm 42. It's good to be here. It's good for us to be together on the Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth. And what we've been doing in the month of February, in this 11 o'clock hour, we've been looking at the subject of worship, but we've not been looking at the usual suspects with a study of worship. Instead, we're looking at some other areas that sometimes are overlooked or maybe some things that are more pressing for us as individuals as we consider the subject of worship. And this morning, I would like to tackle the question, what about if we don't feel like worshiping God? What do we do then? We know that God is looking for a specific kind of worship that comes from a specific kind of worshiper. Jesus, as he encountered the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, said, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Worshiping in truth, well, we've got that down pretty well. Oh, we'll go back and we'll study it again and again because we need to, but we understand it's important that we worship God the right way and that we engage in all of the scriptural acts of worship and we do them properly. But the other side of that is that we must worship in spirit. And that means that our worship has to come from our heart. The heart has to be involved. Our mind and our feelings have to be engaged as we focus on God and make a spiritual connection with Him in our worship, offering Him praise and honor and thanksgiving. The reality is, though, we don't always come into this building riding a spiritual high. If we're honest, we'll admit that there are seasons in our lives when we don't feel like going to worship God. We're discouraged. We are spiritually fatigued. We are stale or flat. Call it what you want. I think we all recognize that there are times when we're going through a desert land spiritually in our lives, but still, we know that we are to worship. We know what we're supposed to be doing on the Lord's Day. We know what's expected of us, but we're just not feeling it today. What do we do? What do we do about that? Psalm 42 helps us with this matter. Did you notice when Brother Wood was reading it to us a while ago? Verse 5, the psalmist asks, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me, disturbed within me?" One translation says, in turmoil. Here's a man that is in a state, is in a condition that we would not call ready to worship. And so this psalm addresses this matter. In Psalm 42, the psalmist is expressing his longing for the temple and for worship with God. It is something that he says he needs, much like a deer needs water in a parched land. You know, we began our worship service with a hymn that is based on Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks." And oftentimes when I think about that song and I want to put a visual with that song, you picture a deer that is next to a creek or next to a river with plenty of water. That's not the idea. The idea here is an animal that is in a desert area that needs water and can't find it. A companion passage to this in the Psalms is Psalm 63. and verse 1. If you'd like to turn just a few pages over, Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. There's the image. There's the visual. An animal that knows it has to have water and is desperately trying to find it. That's where the psalmist is. He desperately needs God, but for some reason, he is unable to go to the temple and participate in the activity there with his fellow worshipers. And that is combined with the fact that he is presently surrounded by adversaries who are taunting him and mocking him about his God. These circumstances combine to cause him, verse 3, to be in tears. So much he says, that's my food, my tears. And then our text, verse 5, he is cast down or in despair. He is disquieted. He is disturbed. He is in turmoil. And by the way, verse 5 is repeated at the end of the psalm. The circumstances in Psalm 42 may be different from our own because we are physically here. We are able to be together here. But this psalm does offer some help for us when we are going through those seasons of doubt and discouragement in our life. We know it's the Lord's Day. We know what is expected of us. But what about if we're not feeling like it? What can I do when I don't feel like worshiping God? I want to take a look at six things, which, by the way, I remind you, a couple weeks ago it was 10, so we're going down in number. But I want to take a look at six things from this psalm and from some other passages that we need to remind ourselves of to help us as we're going through those seasons of drought in our spiritual lives. What if I don't feel like worshiping God? Well, number one, we need to get the who of worship right. We live smack dab in the middle of a consumer-driven society. What does that mean? That means that there are businesses all around us that are competing with each other for our discretionary money. And so we are inundated with all kinds of advertisements that make an appeal to us personally. You need this. You deserve this. Get this that you deserve and we will do it the best. And we're used to that. We're used to places and businesses and services catering to us. You know, not only do we get the advertisements, but one thing that I don't necessarily care for is the request for surveys afterwards. You know what the survey is? If I didn't like it, I wouldn't come back. That's about all the survey that you're going to get from me. But sometimes a person shows up, does some kind of a service at the house, and they're no more pulled out of the driveway. And being on my phone, they want a survey. But they're letting me know it's about you. We want to know what you think of this. It's catered to you. And if we're not careful, we take that mentality and we bring it in here. And we make church about us. Church is either good or church is bad, depending on how it made us feel and what we got out of it. Church is only worth my time and worth my effort and worth what money I put in that plate if I'm getting something out of it. And that's not what the scriptures say about worship. Sometimes we leave, what do you think about the sermon? What do you think about the song service? What do you think about the comments at the table? What do you think about the opening prayer? We're asking the wrong question there. What did God think of it? What did God think of the worship that we offered unto Him? Because this worship is offered to Him. It's about God. Notice that in our song. The psalmist realizes that it's all about God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 2 says. Verse 4, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. See, it wasn't about me. It was about God. Verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Worship is about God, and it's about putting God first, and it's about doing God things in God's way. It's not about you, and it's not about me. I heard a good illustration to drive home this point, and I want to share it with you. It's kind of like when you're invited to a birthday party, and it's not your birthday. It's somebody else's birthday, but you go. You go because it's about that person. And you care about that person. And you're going to sing happy birthday to them. And you're going to watch them open presents. And you're going to enjoy cake with them. I remember when we were living in Texas a long time ago, I took one of our children to a birthday party. I won't mention who. But when it came time to cut the cake, I was informed from across the room, oh, it's chocolate! He's gotten much better. It's not about us. It's about God. So maybe that will help us. If we're in a rut, if we're used to people catering to us and it's not going well for us, maybe that will help us if we remember who worship is about. It's not about us, it's about God. The fact that God is worthy of our worship should be an established foundational part of our faith that will sustain us when we have to go through those deserts, when we have to go through those seasons of weakness. God is worthy of our worship. Secondly, we need help when we're going through times like this. We need help when we're going through struggles, when we're going through times that we are spiritually flat. The psalmist is in tears. He's cast down. He is in turmoil. He can't get to Jerusalem with his brethren to worship. He needs help, and he knows where to turn. He turns to God for help. I have here Psalm 42, verse 5 in the New American Standard Version. I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. The psalmist is seeking God's presence. Why? Because he feels like going? No, he needs help from God. And that might be the case for you. That might be the case if we're going through a time in our life where we're just not feeling it. We need some help. And the Bible is the invitation from God as he says, I will help you. Turn to me and let me help you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God says if we're in need of help, he invites us to come to his presence and get that help. And I realize the primary way we get this help that we're talking about here in Hebrews 4 is through prayer. And we're having a great study on prayer, in-depth study on prayer. But where else is it that we meet God? Right here in our worship. We meet God in our worship, so we need to be coming here. I don't feel like coming there. That's why you need to come. Come and get the help from God that you need. Well, I've tried. I've tried to kickstart my spiritual life. I've tried to get back on track. I've prayed unto God and he's just not listening. He's just not hearing. This little verse is tucked away in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Through Jeremiah, God says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There is that promise. God wants to be found. God wants to be found by us. And the promise is that we will find him. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 echo this great promise. Ask, seek, and knock, and you will find. But notice the condition: with all your heart. And when I hear a Christian who is down, who is struggling, and they say, I have prayed to God. I have tried this, and God doesn't care. God isn't answering. God can't be found. I can't find Him anywhere. But you haven't done it with all your heart. God says, you search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. We need God just like a deer needs life-giving water in the wilderness. And that deer is going to search until it finds it. And we need to search for God's presence with that same diligence and determination. Worship is one of the places where we find God's presence. I've never understood, and I've heard this, I've encountered this on more than one occasion, not here at Knollwood, but at other places I've been. I've gone to visit with Christians who aren't attending like they should, and they're like, you know, I got some things going on in my life right now, and I need to get those straightened out, and as soon as I get those things straightened out, I'll be back at church. What? You got that turned around. You need to get back here now so God can help you with that. Guess what? Never saw those people again. No. Get here. Get here. Find the help that you need in your spiritual life. Here's something else that's going to help us. If we will count our blessings. We need a change of perspective when we are in a spiritual rut. Now, I can't think of anything that can do this for us better or quicker or more efficiently than if we will stop and take an inventory of the blessings that we have from God. Now, I don't mean just go through the ordinary list. I mean stop what it is that you're doing and take an honest look at your life and find where it is that God is blessing you. Every good thing that we have has come from God. Every good thing. We need to list all of our physical blessings. And regardless of how much time we take to work our way through making a list like that, we haven't covered it all. Here's one thing that might help us in counting our blessings and making a list like this. The Westview Church of Christ in Hamilton, Ohio, they have it's a piece of paper that's tacked up on the bulletin board in the back of their auditorium, but it may as well be painted on the back wall because it's a fixture there. And I love what it says. What if you woke up this morning only with the things that you thanked God for yesterday? Let that sink in for just a moment. What if the only thing God gave you today is what you bothered to thank Him for yesterday? And as you think about that, you need to thank God also for His mercy and that He continues to give you things that you don't think to thank Him for. Were you able to get out of bed today? Did you thank God for that? When you opened your eyes, could you see? Did you thank God for that? Could you hear? Can you speak? Did you have clothes to put on? Hot water running in your house? Food to eat? We're just getting started, aren't we? Count your blessings. And then, let's look at the spiritual. The blessings that we have in Christ. And again, we could list all that we could think of. We wouldn't cover them all. There are more than we realize. We need to thank God for the things that He's done for us in the past. I'm always thinking about my childhood and how the times that I spent running around in the woods next to our house, any number of things could have, should have happened to me. How smart is it to climb up to the top of a rickety windmill that's rusted through? I climbed up that thing I don't know how many times. It's a wonder I walked back home. God took care of me in my past. God's taking care of me now. And God has promised to take care of me in the future. Don't you love this passage? Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply. Not might. He's going to do it. All your need. Not some. All your need. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's why our cup runs over. If we will stop and we will count our blessings, we will find the reason to come and to worship God. Gratitude will ignite the desire for worship. In the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100, it's just five verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We have God as our shepherd to take care of us. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Count your blessings. Has that fire gone out? Your desire to worship, has it gone out? Count your blessings. Be grateful once again for what God has given you and allow that gratitude to ignite that desire to worship Him. So let us always count our blessings. Hey, if we're honest, it may be that you're not feeling like going to worship God because you've got sin in your life. Let's talk about that for a moment. We know that the truth about sin is that sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And perhaps the reason we don't feel like worshiping God is because our heart knows that we're harboring unrepented sin. Well, a good thing about that tells us that we haven't seared our conscience yet. At least our conscience is still working and letting us know, you know, you're not right with God, but we need to take care of that in the right way. When Nathan came to David and confronted him and said, "Thou art the man," David did the right thing. He confessed his sin. After he was forgiven, he wrote Psalm 51. Turn just a couple of pages in your Old Testament to Psalm 51. Look at verses 3 and 4. "For I acknowledged my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Verses 7 and 8, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." Verses 10 through 12, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Notice, joy and gladness and a desire for God's presence all come with the forgiveness of our sins. So it may be you're not feeling it right now because you're in sin. Then take care of that sin. Confess that sin to God. Repent of that sin. Seek God's forgiveness. And then come and worship God in the joy of that forgiveness. I know sometimes receiving forgiveness isn't easy, especially if it's something that we have to continue to ask for. And Satan would whisper in our ear, "You're a failure. There's no way God would want you. He's forgiven you of this so many different times. God sent His Son into this world to suffer and die on the cross and to rise from the dead so you could come and worship before Him." So accept that forgiveness. None of us is worthy, but by God's grace, we're here. He wants us here. So let's worship God who forgives. So it may be You're in that rut because you're in sin. So confess your sin. Get rid of that sin. There's something else that I would say to you. Just get here. Just get here. I get it. I understand. You're not feeling it right now. You don't feel like worship. Well, don't wait till you feel like it. Just get here. Just get here because God has designed the worship in such a way that it will remind you of why you need to worship. So just get here. Psalm 42 and at verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. The psalmist is used to going with the multitude to the house of God with the voice of joy, keeping the feast. He knows that once he gets back there, he's going to know what to do. Nike has, I don't want to call it an ad campaign, it's more of a slogan. Just do it. Just do it. And of course, Nike, they're selling sports gear. They're going to sell you your exercise shoes. You wake up in the morning, you're not feeling it. Just do it. Just go and just do it. The same thing is true here with worship. Just do it. Just get here. And once you get here, you'll know what to do. And connected with that, once you get here, you'll remember that you're not alone. That you have brethren here to help you. Brethren who have made their own journeys through those spiritual barren wastelands in their lives. And they know how to get through it. And they know what it's like on the other side. And they can help you with that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 do not say, thou shalt go to church. Here's what it says. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, God is the primary reason we assemble together for worship. It is about God. It is centered upon God. Well then, preacher, how is it that you can bring others into this? Because our all-wise divine God has designed worship in a way that it accomplishes more than one thing. It accomplishes His praise and His honor and His glory, but it also stirs up the worshipers. It keeps us stirred up so that we will continue to serve Him, and it helps us to get out of that rut and to find that spiritual plateau that God wants us to walk upon. Let's go back to that idea just a moment. You know what? I'm going through some things, and as soon as I get all that taken care of, as soon as I get back to where I need to be, then I'll be back there. How are you going to get stirred up without coming to the assembly that God has designed to stir you up? Do you know a better way than God does? Think about that. Do you really know a better way than God does to stir yourself up? No, you don't. So get here. When we are present for a group activity, it doesn't take long before we find ourselves doing what the group is doing. Again, let's go back to that birthday party. And that birthday party wasn't for you. Maybe it wasn't even for a family member. But you're there at that birthday party because you care something about the person that it's for. Well, somewhere in there, eventually, they're going to sing happy birthday. Are you going to stand off to the side with your arms folded and refuse to sing? No, you're going to be singing. And you're going to be excited when presents are being opened. And you're going to be talking with people. And you're going to eat some cake. I don't care who you are. You're going to have some cake. Let's go to a ball game. Let's go to a Dayton Dragons game. Before the game gets started, the announcer is going to tell everybody, please stand, remove your caps, and we'll sing the national anthem together. You're telling me that you're going to stay seated? No, you're going to be standing, and you're going to be singing. And the game is going to start, and you're going to cheer. It's a Dragons game. You're going to boo. That's the Dragons, a Reds farm team, right? Now, you're going to join in with everybody else in the crowd. You're going to be doing it. Seventh inning stretch, you're going to get back up. Get here. You're going to find yourself singing. You're going to find yourself bowing your head and praying. You're going to find yourself taking your heart back to dark Calvary as we partake the Lord's Supper. You're going to find yourself visiting and talking with brethren before and after the services. Just do it. Just get here. And let us help you get through this season of drought. And help you get out of this rut. God is worthy of worship. It doesn't matter if we feel like it or not. And again, that is a truth that has to lie at the very foundation of our faith, of who God is. And He is worth worship, whether we feel like doing it or not. But it's even more than that. We need to seek God's help. We need to count our blessings. Perhaps we need to confess sin and get that out of our lives. And we need to allow our brethren to help us through these spiritual droughts that we go through. I'm glad you're here. Whether you felt like being here, whether you felt like coming or not, I'm glad you're here. And I hope that now you're glad you're here too. And let's take this lesson, let's take this psalm, and let's tuck it away. Because we'll go through these seasons in our life again. And we'll need to be reminded, hey, there is a reason to be here, even if we're not feeling like it. Let us worship God, for He is worthy of our worship. I've enjoyed these studies on worship as we've gone through this calendar month. I've especially been looking forward to this study today. It has helped me. I hope it has helped somebody else. If you're with us today and your life is not right with God, your heart is telling you that, then you need to act upon that. Maybe you need to become a Christian. You need to confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized to have those sins washed away. Well, that opportunity is yours if you'd like to do that. Maybe you need to make things right as a Christian. Maybe you need to take care of sin in a public way so that there's no doubt whatsoever you're turning away from that and you're doing what is right and you're putting God back in the center of your life. Maybe you bring a burden here today. You're going through that desert land right now and you need help. You need God's help and you need our help. We'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.